So it's still there.
All right, it's 6:01 on Wednesday, September 12, 2019. I call the Central Education Committee meeting to order. Certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law.
Yes, I have a copy of the notice.
Okay. Feature program, youth development.
Today I'm going to be sharing with you information regarding the Youth as Resources program. I'm not sure how much information everyone knows, so what I'll do is actually.
Well, Mark and Zach are new, so they probably don't know anything about it, so you know. And obviously,
how about our youth members? Do you guys know about it? There you go.
You've never been used as a resource.
For the YARM program, and I have a call, so I'm going, but for the YARM program, I'm the advisor for the program, and my role is really the facilitation and the coordination of the program. I'm kind of the go-between, the YARM board, the endowment committee, and the United Way. So what I want to go over today is just give you a short program overview, take you through the application process, provide you some examples of service project books, and highlight the annual report and answer any questions that you may have.
Only burning questions.
That's good. So, sharp.
So youth as resources. What is youth as resources? Youth as resources is a grant-giving program that provides up to $500 grants to youth-led service community service programs. And actually, Youth as Resources was started in 1987. It's a national program, and it was adopted by Kenosha County in 2005. The YARM board members. The YARM board members, they meet once a month, every the third Tuesday of every month. The members consist of 12 youth. That picture is actually a picture from some of the current members and some of the old members, because that was taken in May. So that's not the exact board for this year. But there are 12 members. There's 9 adults who range between
9 youth.
I'm sorry, 9 youth. yes, 9 youth that range between 9th and 12th grade, and there's 3 adult members. And they actually have a board that has an officer, a vice president, president, and secretary and treasurer. So the board consists of those for the officers. And also within the board, there's 3 subcommittees, which are the outreach committee, the program committee, and the membership committee. The grant cycle for the YARM program, it happens 4 times a year in October, November, February, and March. The first grant cycle actually is going to be coming up October 16th is the day that we'll be reviewing grants, and the deadline for those grants is actually October 11th. So just keep that in mind if you know any youth that are interested in applying for a grant. Who benefits from YARM? Just really overall, the board members benefit. The youth that are actually requesting the grant money, they benefit from YARM. And the overall Kenosha community really benefits from the program because youth are learning about leadership. They're learning decision-making skills, budgeting, and things like that, and actually running a board. So the overall Kenosha community is really gaining from that. What I want to do right now is actually want to take you through the process of what happens at a board meeting when there is a grant presentation. So what I would like for everyone to do is to split up in 2 groups, and it doesn't matter if you want to just split the room, but want to split up in 2 groups. And I'm going to pass out a application for a grant, and this is what the youth are actually completing. So you all can break into 2 groups.
Does everyone have to scoot over this way or be nearer to these folks?
You're a big. Okay. How come six walking away from
you? No.
Can we be up here?
She's guys, you're going to need a table to write. She must just sit right here. What is y'all going to do? Oh, y'all going to do it? Go on. I want to build a bridge across the creek to allow the old folks to cross over into an area. Hey, we're brainstorming right now. So
within your group, if you could come up, Rita, you can kind of skim over the application. But really what I want you to do is to think of a service project that you think would benefit Kenosha, the residents of Kenosha.
So our bridge, will cross over this creek and allow the old folks in the retirement home to go get their mail without having to walk through the water. Excellent.
Can we do that for 500?
Sure, we could, because
I thought you were rambling with yourself.
Listen, pal, you're not involved. Let's just sit there and be quiet. Or if we want some real youth input, we'll get it from this young lady here.
Someone did those?
No, yeah. Okay. You got a better idea?
No, I didn't hear your idea.
I said, we're going to build a bridge over creek to allow the elderly that are in the old folks' home, okay, or the, what do we call it? Yeah, no, assisted living. Thank you very much. Okay. Assisted living. Well, what if it's not assisted? What if it's autonomous living? A senior community. But listen, there's a creek there because a lot of rain, flooding, boom. And we've got to build this bridge so that they can get to their mail. We know how important the mail is. If you have a parent, you do.
Haley, what's your
service project? So
yep, what's your project?
If you can go ahead and
dream one up.
Completing the application.
Brainstorm.
When are we going to work on these?
Zach seems to think he's got a bunch. I don't hear
anything. No. I like it. A bridge. They're doing birdhouses.
See,
we're doing a bridge.
It's flighty. Don't worry about that stuff. Ours is substantial.
Right.
Okay. So start writing. I'm the brains of this operation. I'm not ready.
Title of your project.
Okay, so we could call this the bridge of size, the bridge to freedom, the bridge to our mailbox.
Bridging the gap.
You bridge it, there you go. Beautiful. Okay? And they love their mail.
Yeah.
And catalogs and all that stuff.
The
so
project
it's very
dates.
Exciting.
So the grants
do. Just mainly what.
Don't worry. We are. Yeah. Project
Well, we only have so much time.
Okay, yeah. Project dates. Just start writing. Project location. I'm going to say we're going to put this one out bright.
Just do the need.
Oh, I see.
Youth contact person, be Zach.
I'm not the usual.
No, you're pretty young.
Adult advisor.
Oh, you're right.
So Haley could be adult.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yep, and she'll be presenting too.
Community need addressing with your project.
Okay, community need.
We'll meet an age. Let's make her 14. Or do you have to have a certain age limit?
We don't got to do the top part.
Help
Rich with that.
Sponsor organization.
Skip sponsor
Golden Agers Angels or something like that.
We need a builder so they can have some resources to donate as well.
Rodriguez and Brothers Construction.
They compete with other birds.
And landscaping.
Or Sons. Okay, either way.
Okay. Help support.
All right, so all that. So we're bringing resources to
need, are you addressing?
Okay, so the need is
help
senior residents access.
Reduce their stress levels.
Mail.
They like to live in.
Is this an actual problem?
Well, of course it is. Can't you hear? I'm articulating exactly what it is. Yes.
There's an actual creek on the right.
Do you know how stressed
I live in the city,
the older people get when they can't get their mail? It's stressful.
So what are you going to do as your service project?
Build a bridge to allow them easier access.
Okay.
And then who will benefit?
How many people in the senior community?
How many would we like to have there? 50? 100?
50 sounds
good. 50 sounds reasonable. Okay. Let's make it 52.
I think that's more.
A new guy just moved in.
52. Okay.
Who will benefit from seniors and their caregivers?
Yeah, right. And family members who don't get the call because I wasn't able to get my mail. Can you please immediately come out here and help me?
Okay. And there's that less risk of falling.
See, falling, slipping,
walking,
right? Or ruining, or ruining quality footwear.
You have about 2 minutes.
Youth are procuring resources. They are volunteering with the build.
Yep.
And
anyone visiting via
they
are going to assist the elderly on opening day.
Yes, exactly. Perfect.
That's a great PR job.
That's outstanding.
All right. Should have been in marketing. Apparently.
How will the youth be working with in partnerships? Or is that the one you just did?
Well, businesses, seniors, they're going to survey the seniors as well and backing off.
To find out what style bridge they like, what kind of handrails, what kind of surface to put down to minimize slipping.
Businesses, seniors, they're going to work with the U.S. Post Office. They're going to work with the management of senior community center.
Right, make sure that proper construction, building codes,
how
and then maintenance of these
if
substantial.
Get their mail.
That's the big thing.
You gotta clean them out.
And stop harassing their children.
Yes. And smile more. Yep. Stress levels reduced.
Okay.
Yep.
So that means you're gonna have to mail some stuff so they can go get.
Oh no, that mail never stops coming. Even if it's Publishers Clearinghouse, they love getting it.
Yep.
Love it.
Are we all the youth?
We're all the youth.
Yep. You're the
youth. Everybody's
adult.
The youth.
All of us.
It's all state of mind. Yep. Youth is a state of mind.
Right.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you.
Perfect.
Okay. Oh, is there a second? It's a back page.
Oh, the budget.
Oh boy.
The budget.
We need 500.
Yeah, we need the budget. Just put
500.
Okay.
Yeah.
500. Yeah, 500. The maximum
supplies.
Amount is 500.
Okay. Yes.
Ask for all.
We're going to ask for 6.
Okay. We're going to need some concrete, you know, for the footings. We'll need pressure-treated lumber, as well as then some welded framing to help with the undercarriage or the under support. We're not just going to get out of wood. We're going to get a steel long duration. Minimize flexing.
Tools,
transportation.
No,
not
equipment.
Yep. Yeah. Power tools, various power tools.
Can't deny other. We won't be specific.
Other.
Yeah.
Like other.
That's a good point.
Other.
Transportation.
How high can we go in a requested amount in the youth part, in the youth resources? How high can we ask? Can we ask for 10,000?
No, 500.
500? Okay, well then. That's asked for 500.
We gotta get some donated stuff.
Okay,
right.
Yes.
So the total project cost is gonna be $2,500.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Because we're procuring our own.
Absolutely. And right, we're not gonna just chintz to slap something together. This baby is gonna be safe
for
for generations. We're not gonna paint it, but we will get some stain. Well, we'll take some stain, just clear stain, you know.
Perfect.
Well, that'll be part of it, yeah.
Okay, Zach, you're our adult. What's your title?
Did you get us all the youth and the genders and the ethnicity and all this stuff at the very top? How many?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 youth.
Yep.
And how much one male. 1, 2, 3, 4 female.
Let's see.
Is
anyone else?
Mike's a male too.
Yeah, we got two males.
But you're the adult representative for the youth.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, well, we got a Hispanic. It's right there. Doesn't matter. We still represent.
Solely the youth. Anyone of Hispanic ethnicity?
Rodriguez.
Not the youth.
He's not the youth. So no. 0. Non-Hispanic 5. Raise your hand.
Okay, we need to wrap up.
We got Asian. Right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
I can't believe she's just pressing this push. Wrap it up. We are moving. This is such a good project. I can't even believe it.
So, okay. Now.
Okay.
Typically what happens is the application. The application will come into the office.
Hey, time.
Were you told you can only have a couple minutes for this? We'll take extra time. This is actually fun.
So, okay. Typically what happens, the application comes into the office, and the YAR board members will look at the applications, and they'll do some evaluation of those. And then on the night of the grant presentation, the actual groups will come into the meeting, and they'll do a presentation for 3 minutes. So we're only going to do a minute each, so you all can select who. If you come up as a group, typically that's how it's handled, and present your idea for, you only have 1 minute. So
wait, question. Can we be a little creative? Can we pick who presents for them and they can pick for us? I don't want Erin to present.
You don't?
No. Because then I know she'll get the grant. So.
No.
Yeah, she's on the board. That's unfair.
And it's not well, that you like, should do it.
These groups, it's not that, it's really a group. Like, it's either you or I get the grant. It's, there's $1,500, okay. And it's $1,500 to be divided up amongst however many grants there are. So if you're asking for 300, we're asking for 100, and there's another one, you know, five more, they have to figure out. But if there's only 500 going out, then most likely you'll get the whole amounts.
So who would like to present? And actually, the two YIG members, can I have you all, you're going to be the board?
Oh, I thought they were going to be the presenter.
They are. They were part of your team, but now they're going to transition to a new role. So now you're the board.
You want them there.
So yeah, so you can come over this way.
We're going to keep everyone on their toes.
So they're going to be making the decision.
I thought for sure they'd be presenting.
Okay, who's going to volunteer to present?
So you get Zach, 1 minute to present your ideas.
Quite the project to present.
I wouldn't chop through this thing, or you're going to get a harsh critique smoothly delivered to you.
You only have a minute, so you can't let
it
out.
You guys are first.
Why do we only have a minute? What is this time schedule? There never is a time clock in this meeting, ever, until this one.
So you usually get 3 minutes to present.
Oh, so she gets 3 minutes.
No, but we're just going to do one, because this is
say what you need to say.
Yeah,
they're group one.
Do we have some big reports?
Group one.
Okay, I'll start. Due to increased development pressure as well as habitat destruction, the bluebird population in our area has been declining. So we decided we would like to do a service project on increasing the bluebird population by adding some bluebird houses to Silver Lake Park. And what we would do is we would work together with some adults to help us find some plans to put these houses together so we do them properly and we site them properly. And we will have the adults helping us with safety so we know that we're doing things properly. And after we get these constructed, we will go ahead and put them out in different areas in the park so it can be enjoyed by all, not just the birds themselves, but also the public. And we want to make it educational, so we would probably have a monitoring program so that way we could base our success of the program on how well these birds are actually habitating the area. Are you doing that because I'm almost done?
Yes.
Yeah, I am.
Thank you.
Perfect.
You did well.
That was very well articulated.
Yeah.
You raised the answer. Yeah, you will ask questions.
So questions. What inspired you to like make this project?
I can answer that one. We're I'm going for my Eagle Scout project, and so this is my Eagle Scout project, and I contacted I can't remember his name. I think it's Matt Collins at the Parks Department, and asked him if he had any projects that he would like done in the parks, and he thought of that one for us to do.
All right. Thank you.
Boy, tell me when you start your clock.
Tell me when you're ready.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay, our project is called Bridging the Gap. We're focusing on the Community Living Center out in Bristol. Currently, the seniors have to cross a very treacherous creek to get their mail. There's no way around it. They have to wade through the waters, very poorly designed. Anyways, we'll be working with some local construction companies as well as the United States Postal Service to build a bridge, you know, build across the gap, if you may, so that these seniors and that their family that they call constantly to get their publisher clearinghouse mail and, you know, all sorts of junk mail. They're very adamant about getting this. So that's what we're focusing on. We also called Mr. Collins over at the Parks Department. He thought this was a great idea because we just have very too many dangerous bodies of water that reside either on the outside or in the county. So think of the elderly. Thank you.
So what inspired your project?
The elderly.
The high stress level from constantly being contacted by our elderly parents when they don't get or not able to get access to their mail, it just really started wearing us. So we said, how can we resolve this issue? And this was an excellent way. Once in place, of course, the calls will diminish. Their happiness will increase, right? Their stress level will decrease. They'll be able to live even longer. So the impact of the overall elderly community will be outstanding.
Additionally, the planning and development has been flooded with calls about this issue from not only the residents, but their family members.
Wait, where is this located?
You can't ask them a question. You're not a part of the board.
Yeah.
We're just keeping our feet up off the
floor. Where is this
located? Okay, so typically what happens then is that the grant recipients, they would leave, and then the meeting would go into a closed session. So once they leave, the voting process is the youth would discuss each of the programs, and then they are given dots.
They get this too.
Yes.
So that way they can look at the dollar amounts.
Yep. So just say, for instance, I don't know how much each program was asking for, but
we're asking for
you didn't give us time to say.
$132.
Yep.
Okay.
$500.
Okay.
And we'll be seeking private donations also.
Okay.
Maybe that's something we should have said.
What? The money
it's
that
on the
we
budget.
Have currently,
maybe we'll see it on the back.
Yeah.
Is $600. So, what happens is the youth are divided. The dots are divided $600 by the number of youth that we have. So I'm a youth, so we're dividing it all up. We'll be getting $200 a piece. So the youngest youth would actually vote first, and they would take their dots and go up and decide how much they want to give group one.
You don't have a bank
two.
Up there.
Yeah, I don't.
Basically, you slap a sheet up there and it says bank, so that way if someone doesn't want to fund or doesn't want to give all their dots, they can put them in the bank, or if they if there's not, like, we have 600, let's say we have $1,000 and only $600 worth of projects, then the last few people that vote, it would all go into the bank.
Okay.
So it's just another sheet.
Okay. I've only been in this process once, so I've never saw that part. So, we have $600, and so, you know, we would talk amongst ourselves, and seeing that I'm the youngest right now on the board, so I would go to the place and figure out, you know, why I got one. I would decide if I want to give, you got, group one was $132
yes.
and $500, so.
And every dot is
$10.
Yep, every
dot
is worth $10.
Why don't you make like the reds are worth 50 and we can move this thing along a little bit?
And the colors of the dots don't mean anything.
Sometimes we have a hard enough time dividing the number of dots by the people in the room.
What's on the sheets? Is it like $10 increments
yes.
or something?
Yeah, each dot is
why don't you start at like 100? Or for us, you can start at 500. So just start at the 500 and then assume the rest are filled.
We should have like a glittery dot mean $500.
Yes,
like
the golden ticket.
Like the golden ticket.
Yeah, or you know, the golden buttons or whatever. Challenge or whatever.
Each board member gets the same number
right.
of dots.
Yep. Right.
So they get to pick where they want their dots to go.
But what happens when they run out of dots and I haven't hit
$500? You won't run out of, well, that's what you have to figure out. We have to figure out is first we know how much money we have and we discuss. You didn't see the discussion.
You mean hear the discussion? Because I often don't see discussions.
Well, but you didn't see that discussion either. That we'll discuss, okay, we have this many service projects with
Haley,
this much money,
ours.
And we only have this much money. And then we'll go in through and say, do we really need to fund gas for this group? Or, you know, we'll go through and figure, we don't think we want to fund the whole amount for this group because we think that they could do this or something like that.
Or they didn't articulate it well, or they didn't really plan or whatever.
They're usually quite well planned.
Oh, that's good.
The part that most
so you usually get more than about 5 minutes.
Yeah, you get more than
it's really 2 minutes. I mean, three. It is 3 minutes
to present, not to plan.
Right, exactly. And the kids are obviously really nervous that are presenting. So obviously, we take that into consideration too. That they're just so nervous.
But what a great opportunity for them to pitch their idea.
Keep them going.
Just keep supporting.
So are there?
See, if you had a bank and if they thought it was a poor idea,
they don't. They love this idea. They ran out of dots. They were going to give us more dots.
They ran out of dots.
They were going to get more dots.
Yeah, there was a few dots up there.
So now what would happen is there would be a motion and they would decide, you know, if they want to give group one $150, and they're only going to fund $350 for group two. So there would be a motion.
There's still $100 out there.
But they don't have to.
Right. And they wouldn't fund more than we asked for, which was $132.
Okay.
So they would just fund $130.
Okay. So these would come off.
Yeah, you would have put it.
Let's move more to ours. We need more.
Oh, no. And then what they don't use, then we save and roll over to the next meeting.
Right. So you all would.
Does this money just come out of the general fund or what?
United Way. It actually comes from United Way. They do fundraising.
Yeah, it's a partnership with United Way.
So. And after the motion, someone seconds it and.
Oh, no, Haley.
Oh, and then you know, we move forward from there. So once the project has been completed, what is required is that the organization or the group, that they have to submit a project book. And I'll pass these out and you can just look at them. And these are just examples of the project books that have been completed.
That's a lot of work.
And some of them are Easter basket giveaways, they're gardening. I know one was to restore the ELC floor. One was a flowering service service learning project for a school.
Hey, this kid isn't doing anything, she's texting. Take $10 off of this.
Would you like to see this one as well?
Sure.
Thanks.
And I, you know, as I said before, you know, the youth are really learning those different, those leadership skills, that decision making, and it's really, you know, self-empowering for them to be able to actually present and receive grant funds to do something, you know, a service in their community.
Wow. There's a lot of detail too, so they're getting really good reporting experience and documentation.
Right.
That's really pretty impressive. I didn't realize there was so much involved.
It depends on the group.
Right. I bet. These look good though.
The next thing I'm passing out is the Human Resources Annual Report for 2017-2018. And I just want to give a few highlights. There were 11 total service projects funded for 2017-18. The Yard Board distributed $4,210 in grant funds for the year. And every year there's the Leonard and Patricia Johnson Award that goes to a program that demonstrates great leadership, citizenship, and community service. This year that award went to the Holy Christ Catholic Church Christian Formation for their Easter basket and food drive. And the Leonard R. Johnson Award is, Leonard R. Johnson was an educational fellow for over 25 years, and he was a county board, on the county supervisors board as well for 22 of those years as well. So since the inception here in Kenosha, since 2005 when the program was adopted here, there have been 167 service project grants funded, a total of $59,540 in grant funds that have been given away, and 7,545 youth that have participated in these different community service projects. And now if you have any questions regarding the YAR program.
I see bridges are a pretty popular thing.
Oh. No questions? last slide is just information regarding the YARD program. And just YARD is a youth contribution that really impacts this Kenosha community at large. And by connecting youth, with youth, inspiring and empowering them to act and leave their footprint really on the city of, on the county of Kenosha. Applications for the first YARD project on October 11th. If you, I have some more applications if anybody is interested. You know youth and they want to be involved, please make sure that they, you know, complete an application because we'll be accepting those October 11th. So.
Thank you. Vicki, quick question. Mm-hmm. What is the term for the board?
What is?
The,
how long? Oh, 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah, well, no.
No, it's
no.
It's, well, for the youth, it's 1 year.
For the youth, it's 1 year.
No, not really.
Okay.
They can
you
stay
on,
right?
Seem to be a lot of discrepancy.
they age out once they're done with senior year in high school.
Okay.
So if they start when they're like a freshman,
sure,
they could be on it for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
And so.
Okay.
Or
how could they not have a picture of the finished floor? They only got.
I want to see the finished thing.
Is there a limit of students that can be on the board?
Nine. There's nine. 12 total with the three adults.
Is that no or the number nine?
I said
the
nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
That's not German for
no.
Nine.
So, I mean, what's the question of, I mean, if you have kids that stay on all 4 years, you could have years with generally the same kids and no, I mean, other kids that get the opportunity to go on.
Well, currently this year we have one freshman. We have five, I think, seniors, and I want to say maybe two juniors. So
how many are new this
right,
year?
Yeah.
You had
this
six?
Yeah, we had six new board members this year.
Six
total.
Of the
so,
nine.
So next year we'll have five new board members. So, you know, there still are some opportunities.
I think there's some advantage and some continuity. That's oftentimes maybe where your officers come from.
No.
No.
See, that's something I would look like.
Well,
get right on.
No, I mean,
looks like you got a new.
There's kids that want to go in, and then
there,
they can't because
there hasn't been a lot of kids that have wanted to be on it and not been able to go on it.
My intuition as a parent would be that kids are so busy with so many activities, once they get that experience for a year or two, they may decide. I don't know. Is that a thing?
They tend to stay on. Well,
they do.
That's the thing is they do tend to stay on, but that's where you get your president and your vice president.
Sure.
And stuff, your, you know, your exec, the ones that are running the meeting. So that's, we had 1 year where I think all of them left, or almost all, and it was just a rough couple of first meetings. They didn't even know what they were doing. They didn't even know how a meeting was run or anything.
Right.
So you need at least a few to stay to.
So their maximum term would be 4 years.
Right. Yeah. And you can get kids that are satisfied that applied for youth and governance and didn't get picked for that program. And we ask if they'd be interested in applying for this.
Where's the like the push for this stuff? Like youth and governance, this, I never saw any of that in high school.
I've only been here since March, so I'm not sure. but I know we have a database of, they get sent out to the schools, it's sent out to some community service organization, community organizations. So I'm assuming
the media.
They should be, yeah,
media.
The media. So it should be getting out there. I think, you know,
like the government teachers for youth and governance are told about it to recommend kids.
Well, see, that's the thing. So, like, I called Lakeview, where I graduated, this Monday or something like that, and I spoke with my two AP Gov teachers that are still there from when I was there. They had never heard of the program, and I was like, you know, when the application season starts coming around, if you'd like, I'd be willing to come in, and I talked with Aaron a little bit about it. But that, like, for me, I was like, and especially when I got sworn in, for example, and I met the youth and guards. Other supervisor, did you do this? I didn't even know it was a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. That's a good point.
And I don't know if that gap was, you know, maybe the gap on the, from the county side wasn't being made to the KUSD side, or if it fizzled somewhere at the KUSD.
No,
or,
it's
or
been.
Or what happened?
They've been active with the, predominantly with the government teachers, and it can be, like, I nominate people. Anyone can nominate any. Mm-hmm. kids. You can nominate. It doesn't really matter. And literally to nominate someone, you give their name, their address, their school, and their grade.
Right. Yeah.
And then every kid that gets nominated gets a letter in the mail saying you were nominated, and any of those kids can apply. So it's not like it's not an arduous process to get nominated.
And for youth and governance, I believe there was 260 nominations last year.
And how many of those applied? Right?
Only 39.
Well, no, and my whole thing isn't that about how it could be difficult to get into the program. My thing is even knowing about the program.
And we've had kids, I think, didn't your daughter go speak at Indian Trail about?
I believe so. Yeah.
And there was a lot from Indian Trail, so yes. She must have done a good job.
I mean, several years ago.
No, this was
a while ago. It's the government teacher that really pushes it, things like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends on the school, but I think some are better at.
Yes.
Should you say that? Because you said 200 apply, right? I mean, I'm sorry, 200 nominated, only 39 follow through. It's not a knowledge. It's a, do I want to be involved?
Yeah, commit to that.
Because not everybody has an interest in being in this.
If all of the high schools were told, I don't know how many kids are in government, but I mean, how many from
every high school student has to take some form of government, at least in KVSD. Yeah. You have to, whether it's advanced or just
advanced. You're not going to have that many. If there were 800 kids or 1,000 kids in government, 200 were nominated, 39. That's not bad, really.
No,
not terrible.
Because you can remember all the other things that they're involved in. Maybe they're in sports, a band, or that.
There might be just not going to work for them. So.
Now, youth as resources, it's not that. Mostly last year, the kids. On the Youth as Resources Board, they would, at the announcement times in the schools, talk about it, or they pass around flyers, and we sent out emails and stuff like that. So it's not a nomination process, like where the teachers have to nominate, or you have to get nominated. You just fill out an application and put it in. So that's more of a, you gotta be a self-starter to do it.
And I know last year as well, this year actually, but the, president, a lot of the students went to Indian Trails, and that's where most of those applications for YAR came in this year. So,
to me, it sounds like a
schools involved.
And I'm not calling out guidance officers or anything like that at schools, but to me, that kind of seems where logically that gap would.
And a couple years ago, one of the KUSD school board members asked me about like wanting to be notified when the youth and governance program is accepting nominations. And so I had told Teddy, and I believe she added the board members to the email list of, here's the nomination form, nominate who you, you know, anyone you want, so the board members can do in USD.
I know Teddy did, and Bev does as well, sends out notice to all educators in my program as wise. Eight educators in the community, so I share that information, we pass it on. My guess is, or my question would be, how many teachers or parents nominate more than one? Or do you find, like, do we track that historically? Like, are there really like a few champions, and they're picking out like their 5 or 10 best students? And that's a little bit of work. They have to like be willing to engage and fill and do the nomination. Or is it one student per one adult? I mean, I'm just curious.
It seems like the government teachers are the ones that are doing the nominating more so.
Okay.
And then you'll get like homeschool kids where their parents nominate their kids.
Or a sibling, right?
Yeah.
We've had
or a youth organization will nominate several of their members.
But you have to be nominated in order to apply?
Correct.
Yeah.
For youth and governance.
But your mom
for youth and governance,
right.
But not
for youth and governance resources.
Yeah. Right. No, I mean youth and governance.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. 6:40 and we're out of time crunch, right? So let's get to it.
No, I
thought
we...
UW Inner Program updates.
I'll start.
Okay.
Okay, so food otherwise, been busy, busy as usual. Progress. We completed two series of youth education at the Kenosha YMCA in the past month and a half, 2 months. Two series of adult education for individuals with disabilities at KAC. We did a series of education with Farm Corps Youth at Hawthorne Hollow, in addition to our regular monthly education that we do with WIC, Shalom Shelter and Pantry, and the Sharing Center Pantry. There's a parent series, you know, some of you know better than others, but we have a series of 9 parent lessons, Eating Smart, Being Active. That's currently being conducted in Kenosha County in Spanish, and our connection there was Mr. Juan Torres, the parent engagement specialist for KUSD. We've been working with Mr. Torres for probably the last 6 months or so trying to put something together. So we finally got that. That was kind of a victory for us. And that has, I believe, 5 parents involved. Administratively, I reviewed and submitted requests for 3 title reviews for our nutrition education staff. So that's the university system for changing title for that educator and getting a salary increase. And they basically have to summarize their work and talk about their merits and why they deserve that. So that was exciting. So those salary increases, once approved, will be paid with the federal funds from the SNAP Ed and FNEP grants, which we receive in the FoodWise program, which brings about a total of $700,000 into the 2-county area. What have we been up to? We also have been doing a lot of training on our updates for federal fiscal year 2019, which starts October 1st. We changed around some program delivery models. Sort of the highlights for that are we're doubling the amount of early childhood education that we provide. There's just really strong data that shows that those impacts are lasting and it's stickier with the youth when you can get them young and you can also reach the parents. So we've doubled that, and we have some exciting new projects that include involving our partners that teach the early childhood programs and support those programs. They're going to be entering information into a statewide database. This is a new thing. So that was quite a bit of training, in addition to some new curricula. And you are more than welcome to attend our upcoming events. We're at Bristol WIC, Tentative Parent Series at Cesar Chavez, that's gonna happen for sure. And Shalom Shelter Cooking are things that are happening in the next month and a half. If anyone's interested, shoot me an email and I can plug you in to observe with our educators.
So in August, I had a lot of meetings with different potential community partners, stakeholders at a lot of nonprofit organizations. I definitely got a very friendly and good response, just knowing that my position is new to Extension in Kenosha County, to explain more of what I'll be doing, looking at some of the financial resources, food security, and the social and emotional piece. So a few of the organizations that have expressed their interest in partnering in the future is the Kenosha Housing Authority, Prevention Services Network, which is at the Job Center building, United Way through their Tax Preparing VITA program, the Head Start program through Kenosha Unified, and the ELCA Outreach Center with some tenant education information specifically, and then just with other community meetings within the Emergency Services Network. I've been hearing a lot of reiteration of a need regarding financial resources, just because there has been a community-wide just kind of more need for rental assistance, energy assistance, and a lot of those resources are already tapped as they are. So some of the organizations like Women's and Children's Horizons with transitional living that they do, and UMOS with energy assistance, and Salvation Army with rental assistance, have said that they are very interested in being able to provide more financial education in more of a preventative frame for the clientele that they serve. So I'm still getting things up and going, but it's been an easier path to navigate now that I'm getting out and talking more with the community about what their needs are and kind of matching it up with what I'm looking at as far as programming.
And Mary's brave. She's observed a few of our educators.
Oh, yes.
And she even came to our staff meeting, which is a little crazy.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Terry's staff has been very welcoming to let me tag along all over the place, which is great because it's a lot of places that I'll potentially be partnering with as well. So it's been a fast summer.
So the organizations that were interested in having some proactive or educational level help from you means you'd be going into their organization and speaking with their clientele or the people that they're working with.
Yes.
Not them coming in to give you necessarily resources. They want to figure out ways to make their resources go further.
Correct.
Okay.
And to be able to partner as well as provide information and resources to their staff too in the future. So I'm hoping that it'll be able to kind of work in both ways, to be able to work with the staff that are directly serving the clients as well as the clientele that they're already engaged with.
So have you guys put together a kind of curriculum or even just an outline of what you want to do in whatever areas they're looking at? Or is it, Salvation Army is one thing and this organization is something else and you're gonna have to tailor it?
I think it will really be where different programs and pieces. So for instance, later this month, I'm going to be trained at UW-Madison in a framework of financial coaching. And the idea with that is being able to utilize the strategies in there with helping people to be able to make budgets and stretch money and be able to have more of a backing for budgeting that they may not have learned at home. But then I'll be able to go into different organizations to be able to utilize those skills and that information with different audiences.
And not necessarily staff, but with the end users.
Correct.
Because you can go to any academia location and they'll teach you all this theory and crap, and it doesn't apply to every real day struggles that people are. And that's why I want to make sure that it's great to get a little bit of training, but then you got to adapt it to the environment that you're having to work with, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. I'll be passing out the Youth and Government annual report, and I'll just do a really quick few highlights. There were 260 total nominations, 39 applicants. Indian Trail had the most nominations with 101 students, followed by Westosha Central with 60 students being nominated. The youth reported growth in their civic engagement and leadership after being a part of
I would hope so.
After being a part of Youth and Governance, and there were more changes in youth being aware of issues in Kenosha County and also just of their knowledge about the services involved. The career coaches of Wisconsin are editing and putting the last finishing touches on the youth and governance video that they were doing. And I'm hoping to plan a touch base for the youth and governance members sometime in for the winter, if we can make that happen. Also for youth as resources, we have our first meeting September 18th at the United Way at 5:00. And for 4-H, I'll be working with Beth for the 4-H open house as well as leader training that's coming up. And I've been working with Building Our Future, the Early Reading Network. So we're looking at trying just exploring what other communities are doing as far as to help bridge that reading gap. And I had a meeting last week with Beth with at Wilson Elementary with Yolanda Jackson Lewis. So we're looking to do some programming there. Next week I have a meeting at Bradford to be with Gary Vargas to potentially do some programming with Bradford. And also I'll be meeting with Brass principal to start some programming at Brass.
All right, now that the growing season is coming to an end, we've got a lot of programming coming up, and Master Gardener training began in mid-August. We have 15 people taking the training and a very engaged group. Glad to say it. It's wonderful. I look forward to Thursday so I can teach these people because they're great with not only their questions but how they do the activities. You can just tell that they're actually doing the concept instruction lectures and reading in the manual like they're supposed to, and it's obvious that they're doing
so it's working out quite well. I have a presentation next week for the state HCE conference that will be held in Milwaukee. I'm doing a presentation on perennials, and I was just notified today by Donna Zerobe, who is actually the chairperson for that event, and my session has the most attendees that are registered for it, so it's going to be interesting. I thought I was going to talk to 30, I'm talking to almost 100, so that'll be interesting. I'm also doing a presentation next week for ALL, ELL, the Adult Learning Program from UW-Parkside, ALL of Bloom, I think they call it. So they'll be coming here to the KCC. They heard some good information that came out of some of the, if you saw it in the paper, the ice cream social with the garden and the AAS garden here at KCC. So they wanted to come out and see the garden and tour it. So I'm going to be giving them a program and we'll tour the garden. Hopefully the weather permits that. We're doing a lot of planning now for spring in the gardening, which will happen in March, but we have to do it so far ahead so we can get our speakers. And unfortunately, some have already been taken. So rats on that, because we have some good ideas. We also have been planning for landscaping around the short course, and we do that with Sheboygan and Waukesha counties. And we're, of course, going to do that again in February, and we have it here at the KCC. We're also working with, when I say we, it is the Master Gardeners, have been asked by the county executive and Matt Collins to assist with a project at Pet Park. So we've been helping them with maintaining some of the retention areas and island plantings and parking lots 3, 4, and 5 at Petrified Springs. So we're, if I'm not picking or presenting or planning, that's kind of what I've been doing lately. I'm usually here in the office trying to help out the Master Gardeners because they have to have all their hours reported by October 1st. So they are scrambling to find things to do so they can get all their hours in.
Director updates.
All right, so end of August, I did a new supervisor orientation for Supervisor Cardinelli, and I changed it up where I sent the information ahead of time because he was like, can I get it before my first board meeting? And the training was, or the orientation was after that. And so I experimented with doing a little bit more touring and more Q&A versus having it presented, and that seemed to go over pretty well. So I may revamp it for 2 years from now when if there's new supervisors to try that other format since it seemed to go well.
You mean a couple months from now?
Yeah.
A couple months for new supervisors?
No, the new supervisor will be coming.
There's an opening.
Seriously? Who left?
Supervisor Hall.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, well, maybe sooner than later. And that was part of what I noticed, too, when looking at what's in the PowerPoint, just taking out the redundancies and streamlining it a bit as well. So that seemed to be good, and I actually got to see some parts of the downtown campus that I hadn't seen before, too. So that gave me some ideas for potential programming. Tomorrow we are hosting interviews for an aquatic invasive species prevention network coordinator, of which will be some in Milwaukee County, some here at our office. And so it's a half-time position, so we have, I think, 5 people that are being interviewed. And that position will focus on working with local lake associations and nonprofits and help them access DNR and UW Extension aquatic invasive species programs through technical assistance and training. They'll also develop this, they call it AIS, acronym, all the acronyms, prevention partnerships among the Great Lakes, because there is some Sea Grant dollars on the position as well as DNR dollars that go toward it. And so they'll be working throughout southeast Wisconsin, but they really wanted to have a presence in Kenosha County just because of all the inland lakes here. So I'll keep you posted on that. And then last meeting we talked about how Amy Grile is going to be doing 50 to 60% on a regional workforce development project, and we're hiring a community economic development educator to backfill that portion of her time, so that new educator will work on very specific projects and then still on this regional project as well. And so the posting closes tomorrow, and we have about 15 people that we'll take a look at and hopefully have success. So that will, that position will work in both counties. So both the chief of staffs will be part of the final interviews to have the county partner portion considered. And then the fourth thing is, last time we talked about the issues, and thank you for your input. It was very helpful. So we submitted the situational analysis to the state. It's going now to the institutes, and again, we'll report out on that later once we know more of what's happening at the state level. And that's it. That's all I have.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
So the regional. Regional
workforce development.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What is the objective? Clearly stated objectives of that role.
Yeah.
Or
so it's
are they in development?
They're somewhat in development. So they'll be working very closely with the Southeast Wisconsin Workforce Development Board that covers a three-county area. Kenosha County is the lead on it right now. So Doug Bartz is the person who coordinates that. So obviously the huge issue is where all the employees coming from. And so it's kind of, so what Amy will be doing is kind of taking this regional workforce issue and bringing a community development focus to it. And so a lot of it's looking at how do we better engage the underemployed and the unemployed into the workforce. A program or a partnership with the DA, and I think it's, I'm trying to remember the federal agency. It's not coming to me right now. But anyway, they're doing an expo for employers to to connect up with all the different organizations that work with reentry programs. So they connect with the prisoners before they leave, and they have the whole transition plan and trying to get them into employment, and actually kind of then work with the employer and actually keep mentoring the employee to try to have that situation, that arrangement be as successful as possible. So they're doing a large expo at the beginning of October to help employers know about some of the resources that are available, that then hopefully they would be more able to reach out to that group of folks that have a record, basically. Okay. So that's one example. Once Amy actually has more time and has her other projects backfilled, then she will put together a more specific plan, but it's really focused on the under and unemployed and looking at that segment, because we need some more employees coming to the area to be able to work. Yeah.
Just a quick question. Food bank progress?
Yeah. Amy hosted a meeting with at the request of the Shalom Center, who is trying to downsize the amount of number of people that they're serving because of some budgetary issues. And so they've created a food pantry network. I think there's three of the other pantries along with Shalom have agreed to how they will operate in the future, the guidelines that they will follow. And so they're continuing to strategize on that. And Mary can probably speak to more of it. She's part of the ad hoc committee with Shalom and some of the other pieces that are happening.
Yes, so it's ongoing as far as the food pantry network system that Amy's helping to coordinate. That is going to help increase numbers for some of the food pantries that are not serving as much, obviously, as Shalom Center, to allow them to be able to decrease and have a better system in place to then will step into the food bank system easier. So the food bank planning process is still happening. And a lot of the upcoming projects will be regarding just honing the business plan that she's been working on, as well as being able to secure the monetary resources to actually get it up and going as a an independent agency.
Yeah, and CABA has actually stepped forward to... CABA, the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, has stepped forward and is working with some of the corporations that are behind the Sheboygan. The Sheboygan Food Bank, and so Heather Westling is taking the lead on convening some of our local corporations to look at the revenue side of the business plan. They've changed it up a little and slowed it down to build those relationships more before they do the roundtable. So the roundtable is going to happen a little bit later, and she's convening a smaller group to begin with on the date they were planning to get together.
What's the reason why she chose that? Course action rather than first course action.
They really want to, so Heather has been able to engage with some different corporate sponsors from outside of Kenosha, but just more for their expertise in being able to help with food bank initiatives in other parts of the state. And their recommendation was to really find corporate champions in the area that will be able to kind of set the bar for the other businesses to then see how it could work and why it should work and be able to see that the business sector is engaged.
But going to the smaller, the other pantries first, and you said putting those together, was that another recommendation from those outside resources to have? Because I didn't hear that before.
Oh, that was a second.
We're going to start going to the corporations.
It's both and. And part of that is because of the Shalom Center's ask as far as trying to reduce down their, they want to downsize the facility, the pantry they're currently using, and move it. So there's a lot of things happening. So it's kind of a temporary or an intermediate kind of piece, and then eventually it'll get to the regular food bank. But there's another phase that needs to be in there just because of the local situation right now. Yeah, so a lot of moving pieces. I think it changes and updates daily, if not. Yeah, it's very exciting. There's a lot of positive things happening.
Any other questions? Zach?
What?
He's trying to get over there. All right. We will.